Chuck Chad Freestyle for August 30th, 2014. The Dog Days of Podcast continue. And as you can tell from my voice, it has been a busy and noisy day. Chuck Chad Freestyle is an audio diary of my life. And the Dog Days of Podcasting is a podcasting challenge. If you have not been tuning in, if for perhaps this is the first time you've listened to Freestyle or one of the Dog Days, you might be wondering, but I apologize, this is a repeat for everybody else who's been around for a while. We are podcasting every day in August, one a day for 30 days, and then we meet up at Dragon Con. Some of us, those who are making it, and we'll all have a good time together. So the challenge is just about over. I will continue going. And today's big event, if you haven't listened to Craig's podcast already or Clinton's already, maybe you're listening to these out of order, maybe you listen to them in order, who knows. If you've already heard this, well, I apologize for the repeats, but anyway, we had the Dragon Con parade, and the harebrained idea that started 5 years ago today at Dragon Con came true, and I am overflowing with pride in how well it went. We had Santa Claus, Robot Santa from Futurama, riding in the Mustang. We got the car, we got the driver, we got everything to work, and it was a blast. I dressed up as Farnsworth. Craig and Scott were very helpful in applying the makeup and getting the bald appliance glued down and made up, so that it looked like I was actually pretty bald. If you look on Facebook, you'll see a few pictures here and there. It was interesting to be bald, but it was quite warm. And in some respects, I wish I had just shaved my head. It'll grow back, right? But I don't have to go home and answer that question of what happened to my hair. That would be an interesting discussion with Donna. It was very hot. We were at the end of the parade as designed. So what started out as a nice, pleasant morning of about 70 degrees, Scott and Craig and I got up nice and early, grabbed some breakfast, and because we were so early, the normal chaotic elevator traffic on parade day was not a factor. We jumped in at the 65th floor and rode an empty elevator all the way down to the parade, walked to the parade staging area nice and early. We got there about 8:30. Only it was about 10:30 before we actually started moving, maybe even a little later. So we had a lot of time to observe. We were joined by a pink vendor. He was pink because he was raising awareness for breast cancer. Nice gentleman by the name of Daniel T. Smith. We got some nice pictures with the 501st and with the cardboard superheroes and many other people. Thank you very much, Daniel, for making it a wonderful parade. Thank you, Anthony, our driver, for driving the Mustang, volunteering your efforts. I will get something to him, like an Amazon gift card or something, as a thank you. Thank you to Scott Tyler for being the Robot Santa, agreeing to that last November and following through and building out the costume as wonderfully as it was. Thank you to Clinton for being such a wonderful scruffy, and Craig for being Fry. It was everything I imagined and better, because when you get terrific, talented people together, anything is possible. So the parade was great. We got done with the parade. I think we went back and took a shower first. It was more than necessary. And I did one unique thing while I was back at the hotel. I've never done this before and probably never will again. I had a beer in the shower in celebration of the parade. Yeah, you put a little shampoo in your hair. While you're putting the shampoo down, you pick up the beer can. It wasn't glass, fortunately. It's just one of those bucket list things that you say, there, that's done. Cross that off the man list. And then I believe we went and got some lunch at Jalapeno Charlie's. remember having lunch or dinner there years ago with Grant Pachoco. Were you there? When we went to Jalapeno Charlie's, just above the Brazil place, right next to the West. That was a good place. So we grabbed some food there and then went back and took a nap because we were just gassed. Got up early, did the parade, sweated a lot, and we were tired. So we took a refreshing nap, got up, and went to... What were we doing? We got to the hotel. Oh, we went to the Walk of Fame for a little bit. Wandered around there, and what appeared to be a rather large line to get into the Walk of Fame wasn't too bad. We got in, looked around. A lot of the stars, you know, they go in shifts, so I don't think everybody's ever there at the same time. So a lot of the names we were looking for were not around. Gates McFadden was there. Grant Imahara was there. Carl Urban was not. Michael Hogan was there. Billy Boyd was there from Lord of the Rings. So it was fun to see some of these people. Gates McFadden does not look anything like she used to. She has changed in appearance. Walter Koenig was there. He looks extremely old now. He's aged. You know, if you've seen him on TV or movies or something recently, you recognize this. But I think we all have this image in our mind of what these people look like from 20, 30, 40 years ago, and you keep that. It's very similar to what advertisers do when they show you that nice hamburger on the screen. It looks nothing like the hamburger you get in the box, but you still have that vision of the one you saw on the screen, so you almost think you're eating a pristine, nice-looking hamburger. Or shaking hands with a young Walter Koenig. Now, open your eyes. Face reality. Your hamburger sucks. It's a flat piece of mush. We got done with that, and it was pouring cats and dogs at that point. So all of the people that would normally be roaming around between the buildings were now in the buildings and trying to get through the Habit Trail connectors that go through the buildings, which means that trying to get from the Marriott to the Hilton for our 5:30 panel, we had 30 minutes, and we used almost all of it to get from one hotel to the other, probably 20 minutes of it just in the tunnel between the Hilton and the Marriott. It was cramped. I knew eventually, without question, it would break into song. I just didn't know what song. Whether it was going to be Gilligan's Island or the Flintstones, we just about got to the end of the tunnel, and Bohemian Rhapsody broke out. So we got out of that and went to our panel about the past, present, and future of podcasting. Took care of that business. Clinton gave some opinions he had from Podcast Movement a few weeks ago. I did not feel like I had a whole lot to contribute to that panel, except maybe a little color commentary and a few words of wisdom. So it was an honor to be there. There probably could have been much smarter people in the audience sitting in my chair doing it more justice. But it is what it is. Afterwards, we really didn't know what we were going to do, so we tried going to Trader Vic's, found out that there are three elevators in various locations that attempt to go downstairs that don't go all at once. And it took us 20 minutes just to go down one floor, only to find out that Trader Vic's was taking reservations only and we weren't on the reservations list. So we got out of there and went over to Pacific Rim for sushi and seafood, and a group of about 10 of us, nine, and had a wonderful dinner, and then came over to the Hilton to join Scott Sigler and a bunch of other fans and podcasters and friends to toast PG Holyfield at the bar and enjoy some fun times with people and get some pictures with the people you hope you will see again. But as has been underscored this last few weeks, you know, you can't take anything for granted. So say hi to the ones you love, give them a hug, and take a picture so that you have a memento. Speaking of hugs, I have been hauling around a handwritten sign, as is tradition by some people at conferences like this. Occasionally you'll see somebody holding a cardboard sign that says free hugs. Or, as we noted in the last couple of years, free shrugs. So I came up with my own adaptation, free awkward hugs. You can walk down the street, you can stand in a lobby, you can do whatever, and someone will come up to you and want a free awkward hug. And we have had all manner of free awkward hugs. We thought we had a game plan where we would have two main types of awkward hugs. One is where you're sort of leaning into it and not really wanting to contact, but give that awkward pat on the back and back out. The other is the full-on bear hug that lasts too long. Well, that's how it started. I had two genres of hugs. But the more hugging I did, the more ideas I got from the people I hugged. And then Craig started throwing in some ideas, and Scott throwing in some, maybe you should sing a song. Maybe you should give it a weird, awkward giggle. And it turned from awkward hugs into plain old creepy hugs. Some people, namely the females, I was hugging both males and females, and I think it was probably a 60-40 mix of males and females, wouldn't you say? There were more male hugs being given than female hugs. Well, the females would often get the bear hug type, and when they try to back away, I would just hang on and step with them, and then give out this little giggle like, and they'd get really freaked out, start laughing, that nervous laugh of, please let me the hell out of here. And then we would laugh and, you know, give them a high five or something, and tell them to have fun. We got very good traffic. I sound like this is a business or something, and I'm trying to get customers. Very good traffic at the bottom of an escalator. People would see the sign, want to do the hug, and go on. I had a line at one point of two or three people that we were standing here out in front of in the lobby of the Hilton, and people were just kind of following through because you'd have to go through the tunnel or up the stairs or whatever, and they just kept lining up. One big guy, probably twice my weight, came running at me, darn near knocked me over. I tried to sidestep him, but he sort of hooked me. I thought he was too. I thought I was going to have to put the jiu-jitsu on him. There were others that, I had the world's fastest awkward hug from one gentleman. It was like, pat, gone. The ones that really made me laugh were the notably intoxicated women who were walking with their male companions, holding hands, and the girl would start to sort of lean or steer towards me. The man made no contact and would pull her away as if, I want to, honey, no fucking way. Oops, sorry, I have to be this way.
Oh, there goes our ratings.
It's after hours. We're now in the blue section. Please tell your children to go to bed for this podcast. So it was just, I laughed so hard. And even when I turned, I had this cadre of Craig and Mark Kilfoyle and Scott Tyler. And who was the fourth person in that group? There were four of you behind me.
He had to drive back.
Richard Green. They were like this scoring committee. So I asked them to start raising their hands. Only we didn't set any standards on scoring. So I'd give an awkward hug, and we'd turn to the committee and say, how was that? And I'd get, oh, that was a 2 out of 5. Oh, that was an 8 out of 10. And Richard is using this meter thing with his arm. Like, which way is good? I don't know. So it was just chaos and humor. And it was funny, funny, funny. Just from one simple cardboard sign, we got a whole lot of entertainment. At some points, people would walk up and I'd go, oh, would you like hand sanitizer first? And one lady said, no, after. Let's exchange germs first, then try to kill them. It was just a lot of fun, the whole free awkward hugs. Spontaneous, not sure what was going to happen. Julie helped instigate it. We may have to put some fine print on it that said awkward hugs may turn into creepy hugs. But it was a lot of fun. It's been a great day with great friends, and I look forward to more tomorrow. Until then, 101.